And so, where's our motivation to practice? How many lives have we lived? How many lives have we practiced? How many lives have we become a monk? How many lives have we this chop or that chop? And each time we die, you know, I mean, next time we are born again, we have to learn it again and again and again. How many worlds have we been to? The Buddha talked about, you know, I mean, planets, you know, where there were three Buddhas, planets, there were only one Buddha, planets, you know, I mean, this planet is very special because there will be five Buddhas, five civilizations. So it has a long, this planet has a long life, yeah? But after the next Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, it will be ended. And how many times have we been born, yeah? Millions of times, trillions of times, born and die, and born and die, and always do the same thing. When we are born as a human being, you know, I mean, we have to learn to walk, we have to learn to talk, we have to learn to read, and we have to learn to write, and then we have to learn to think, I mean, until we can use this body in full strength, you know, I mean, 16 years of training, 16 years of training. And then what we do? We just get a profession, looking for a job, earning money, and working until we have no strength anymore, and then that's what we call retirement. And in retirement, you know, we're waiting for the end of our life, We're waiting for dying just to have a new life, you know, with the same thing. Things don't change, There are forests, there are seas, there are oceans, you know, there's sand, there are mountains, So, there are people. So what do we do? The Lord Buddha came down, and told us, you know, there's an end of all this dukkha. There's an end of this revolving door of birth and death. Constant birth and death. Hamster wheel, I mean, just like a hamster wheel, running, 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 but not going anywhere. Where do we go? We think, you know, there's progress, progress, where's the progress? I mean, when you think about the Buddhist practice, you know, there are four stages of progress. The first stage is Sotapanna, or stream entry. The second stage is Sakadagami, or once returner. The third stage is Anagami, non-returner. And the fourth and last stage, you know, is Arahant. Not coming back in any kind of form. Being in eternity. But anywhere else, there's no progress. We just run and run and run. We do the same things over and over again, In this life, we practice a little bit, then we get bored, then we work a little bit, then we practice a little bit, Next life, Maybe we decide to become a monk or, a nun, And then afterwards, it's so difficult, There's no end to it until we really get the determination to put an end to it. And in order to put an end to it, there's the path that leads to the end of dukkha, or you can call it nibbana, or the supreme happiness, or the extinction of the fire, whatever you want to call it. And that is the path, the fourth noble truth of sila, samadhi, panya. And that's what we normally train to do here. Sila, keeping the eight precepts when we're here in the monastery. Samadhi, training our mind to become calm, to be without thoughts and to be without memories. And for that, we either use the Buddha or we use the breath, observing anapanasati, observing the breath going in and going out. knowing that the breath is slow, knowing that the breath is fast, knowing the breath is detailed or rough, yeah? We want to train this knowingness, huh? We don't want to manipulate, you know, huh? I mean manipulation, I mean we learn from our first year of life, huh? We manipulated our parents, we manipulated our friends, we manipulated our teachers, huh? We don't want to manipulate the breath or the Buddha, yeah? We want to observe, yeah? And that is something, you know, I mean, we have to train to do, yeah? Because most of the time, you know, we want, yeah? Ah, the breath is not coming, let's make it come. Hmm? And then, yeah? Ah, that's not practice. Practice is knowing the breath, yeah? Doesn't matter how the breath is, yeah? It matters that we know how the breath is. It matters if the in-breath is long or the out-breath is short, or the out-breath is long and the in-breath is short. That matters. The knowing nature. The knowing nature or the sati, yeah, is awareness. Yeah? The awareness enough, yeah, to know what we are doing, why we are doing, and what is the result of our doing. Yeah? We just follow in our life, we just follow the kilesas, you know, who tells us what to do, what to like, what not to like, what to eat, what not to eat, and so on, yeah? And we always say, yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord, you're right, yeah? I mean, you guided me all my life, yeah? And I'm sure that you will guide me to a nice place, yeah? For most people, this nice place is very hot and it is hell, yeah? Because the kilesas don't keep the five precepts. Huh? They want to do this, you know, they want to do that, yeah. They just desire without end, yeah. They don't know that the word enough is enough, yeah. For them, never, yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, just like playing music or eating a certain kind of food that we like. There's not enough. We want it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Huh? Because the pleasure that arises from listening, or from seeing, or from eating, you know, from touching, you know, I mean, will never end. It's very short, yeah? That's why we need to repeat it again, and again, and again. We constantly need to repeat the pleasure, you know, that certain things that our senses give us. We don't know, you know, I mean, there is no end to it. If you like this, you know, I mean, we need to do it again and again and again, yeah? Without even realizing, you know, that we are doing it again and again and again, for what, yeah? And why are we doing it? Because we don't know. Because we follow our kilesas. Because we have not actually investigated what we want, why we want it, and what is the result on our heart. Yeah? I mean, we just followed, yeah? We followed and swallowed all these excitements, yeah? Without even realizing, how does it feel? How does this excitement feel? How does the food taste? How does this kind of food taste and that kind of food taste? Where's the difference between this taste and that taste? We don't know. And because we don't know, we go for it, we fall for it, again and again and again. Yeah? And the training of panya, the training of wisdom is to know what we are doing and what are the effects of our doing. And to compare this and that, yeah? This feeling with that feeling. Yeah? How is the feeling of anger? Yeah? How is the feeling of lust? How is the feeling of likes? How is the feeling of dislike? How is the feeling of pain? We don't know. That's why we avoid it, you know. I mean, it seems to be unpleasant. That's why we avoid it, yeah. I mean, the moment pain comes in, you know, okay, pain, okay, let's do something else. We don't want to know what pain is, yeah. And we don't want to know what anger, or how anger really feels, and how it differentiates itself from pain. Yeah? Or from lust. Yeah? for lust, people, for pain, people in Germany have a very nice saying. Yeah, I mean, we hit our head against the wall because it's so nice when the pain is gone. Huh? Habt ihr sowas in Holland? Den Kopf gegen die Wand schlagen, damit der Schmerz aufhört, weil es so schön ist, wenn der Schmerz aufhört.
No, but we use the first part of the expression just to show how futile it is to talk to someone.
Yeah, I mean everything, you know, everything. Yeah. I mean we do it without knowing, we do it without understanding. Yeah. And we have, you know, and we have this saying, you know, that all the things, you know, all the things come back to us, you know, it's like a boomerang. Yeah. Whatever we throw at other people, yeah. I mean, they throw the anger at them, you know, or throw, you know, put them down or whatever. Yeah? And it all comes back to us. Yeah? And not only one time, it comes back to us 100 times or 1,000 times. Yeah? That is the scary result of karma. Yeah? I mean, if you do good, you know, of course, then it is very nice. Yeah? We do it good one time, you know, it comes back to us 1,000 times. Yeah. But if we do bad, it's the same thing. There's a multiplication, yeah? Multiplicator, yeah? So karma can be very scary, and so we should be very careful, you know, not to go against the 5 precepts, or when we are here in the monastery, not to go against the 8 precepts. Yeah? It also, you know, it is also a very important part of our practice, because if we do not keep the precepts very, very, very carefully, I mean, our samadhi will not develop. Yeah? And if we don't have enough wisdom, you know, our samadhi doesn't develop either. Yeah? I mean, sila, samadhi, and panya are 3 columns that we build our house of liberation onto. And if one column is lacking, you know, the others cannot grow. Yeah? So, for most of us who come from the West, we have to develop the column of samadhi first, yeah, because, yeah, or some people, you know, column of sila, yeah, precepts or moral precepts, depends on what, yeah. So, samadhi is important, yeah. I mean, we sit, you know, comfortable, or we walk, yeah. We do sitting meditation, close our eyes, you know, sit comfortable, and then observe the breath, yeah. Know that the breath goes in, know that the breath goes out, yeah? And replace every thought, every memory that comes in with the attention onto the breath. Yeah? And that is where we need the effort. We don't need to force, you know, we don't need to force the breath, or we don't need to force the attention on the breath. We need to force the mind that goes out, you know, or the attention that goes out to something else, to bring it back, huh, to the breath, or to the Buddha. Yeah. That's where we need it. Huh? It is like riding a horse, you know? As long as the horse goes in the right direction, we go with the flow, yeah? We just observe the breath, we just observe, you know? Yeah? But when once the horse, you know, gets a little bit stubborn and wants to go off the path, then we rein it in. And that is the same thing with meditation. The moment we see, you know, the mind goes out, then we have to rein it in. That's where we need the strength, yeah, to rein it in. But once it goes on the right path, then we relax. Then we go with the flow, yeah, until it goes out again, yeah. That is the path of practice, yeah. Whenever it goes out, we bring it back and bring it back. And there we need utter patience, yeah. And patience is something that most of us don't even have, yeah. It's so boring. What is boring, yeah? What is boredom? I mean, we are fooled by these labels the kilesas constantly put on things. Instead of investigating, interesting, what is boredom? How does it feel like? No, we go for it. What is pain? No, I have to, yeah, I'm sitting uncomfortably, yeah, I'm going to wreck my body, yeah, I mean, it's a problem, this, no, that, yeah, we are fooled by the kilesas all the time, because we don't investigate the things that they throw at us, yeah, all these labels they throw at us. Oh, I'm tired. No, you're not tired, the kilesas are tired of observing the breath, huh? I mean, there's a nice remedy against it. I'm so tired. Let's think of something exciting, and suddenly all the tiredness is gone. Try it out. It works 100%. Yeah. And once you get your energy back, you know, you can put it back on the Buddha. Oh, on the ground. Yeah. And we are so constant, so fooled, you know. The killers just throw labels at us, and we say, yes, my lord, yes, my lord, yes, my lord, you're right, you know. Now I need to go sleep. Yeah. Now I need to do this. Now I need to do that. Yeah. Instead, and the Dhamma says, no, sit, go on, you know, just one more breath, or one more, yeah, one more Buddha, yeah. That's how you, how you're persistent in your effort, yeah? Yeah. And that's what we need to train, persistent in effort, yeah. And we do samadhi until there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up, yeah? And that is the first stage, you know, the first stage of samadhi is called upachara samadhi, yeah. When thoughts and memories stop. Yeah? And then, the first time in our life, we feel really relaxed, yeah. We feel happy, yeah. And the kilesas cannot come in because the kilesas are outside, yeah. They're looking, they're constantly knocking on the glass, you know, please come out, yeah. So that we can grab hold of you. But no, yeah. As long as we are in the safe house, you know, they cannot bother us, yeah. And things, you know, become more and more distant. But we stay with the breath, yeah, or we stay with the Buddha. Hmm? We don't go to the feeling that arises, yeah, because of samadhi, yeah. When we go into samadhi, of course, you know, when there are no more thoughts, memories, yeah, I mean, there are some very nice feelings coming up. Yeah, and the problem for most of the meditators, they go on to the feeling, and then within a few moments, you know, I mean, these feelings are gone, just like everything anicca, yeah, it arises and passes, yeah, and these feeling arises because of our effort of keeping our attention on the breath or on the Buddha, yeah, it's a by-result of our samadhi, yeah? It's a result of our samadhi, it's not the work, yeah. That's why I compare it, samadhi with digging a well. As long as you dig, the hole gets deeper. And the deeper it is, the less you're aware of what is going on around you, yeah? But if you stop digging and look, oh wow, it's so deep, you know, it fills up the hole, yeah? You constantly have to dig, yeah? until, in samadhi, when you go and when you stay with the Buddha or when you stay with the breath, until the mind becomes so focused, you know, nearly 100% focused, yeah, that you cannot think Buddha or that the breath stops. And then you have to jump into this knowingness. And the moment you jump into this knowingness, this is called what is called one-pointedness, yeah. I mean, we live in the world of duality, yeah. And if this world of duality, if these two things, you know, object and subject merges into one thing, there's nothing we can say about it, yeah. Time, gone. Space, gone. Everything is gone. Yeah? Lungta Mahabho called it the preview of Nibbana. Death. When we enter, in the next moment we go out, and in that time, you know, that we were in the Apana Samadhi, I mean hours or even days can have passed. Yeah? But we don't know. Yeah? Because we go in, and the next moment we go out. Because there's no space and there's no time. It's eternity, yeah? And that is the preview of Nibbana, yeah? And I can promise you the first thought that you have when you come out is, I want to go back in. I mean, because samadhi is nice, it's peaceful, you know, it's calm, you know, but this is the ultimate experience, yeah? And that's what we actually also need, yeah? We need this Apana Samadhi, and that can be doing by, that can happen through investigation, yeah? Or it can happen through Samadhi, yeah? Through the practice of Samadhi. Yeah? When we investigate something really deeply, you know, we suddenly can end up in this Apana Samadhi, yeah? And when we cut the fetters, you know, when we cut the first fetters, you know, I mean, the experience of the Magga and the experience of Apana Samadhi is very, very similar. Yeah? And we do need the mug in order to cut the fetter, yeah? People think, you know, oh, okay, yes, yeah, the body is not me, yes, it's clear, you know. Yeah? But that's not, yeah? I mean, it's still thinking, yeah? It has to really cut, yeah? And that is what is called insight. And we can have a lot of insight. We can have insight when we do body investigation. We can have insight. Yeah, I understand, yeah. But this insight is not deep enough, yeah. And the next insight is a little bit deeper. And the next insight is a little bit deeper. Until the insight is so deep that it can cut the fat, yeah. So. But we are fooled, you know, because the kids, well, you know, now I'm here, yeah. No, you're not here. The moment you think you're here, or you think you have achieved something, you have not achieved anything, because it is only in your mind, yeah? And belief is very strong. Don't, never ever underestimate the belief, you know, that we have. It makes this world go, yeah? The belief that we can do something, that the belief we are this, or the belief we are that, yeah? It's a belief, it's not knowing. It's not the truth. It's not knowing. So, practice samadhi, yeah? And then after, you know, after we get into upachara samadhi quite easily, yeah? And can stay there for about 15, 20 minutes, then practice the investigation of the body, yeah? Distance yourself, you know? Distance yourself from the body. See that the body and the citta are not the same thing, You can do it any way you want, you know. I mean, you can slice up the body or cut up the body, or you can, you know, disassemble the body in all its bits and pieces, yeah. Do it do 32 parts of the body, just throw them out from where you sit onto, so that you can see them all, yeah. You see all the body parts, you know. Yeah? And who sits there and sees the body part? Yeah? That is the citta, yeah. That's the subject, and these body parts are the object. So how can be the subject be the object, yeah? It's impossible. Yeah? You see it, you know, with your inner eyes, yeah? And that kind of insight is necessary, yeah? I mean, if you can leave the body, you know, and see the body, well, hey, that looks like my body, huh? Wow. Yeah? And then you go around, you know, and look at it, wow. Yeah? That is also, yeah? There you see, the citta and the body are two different things. And that is the third fetter, or second fetter, sometimes called second fetter, I call it the third fetter, yeah? That is necessary for entering the stream. The second fetter is, you know, I mean, not keeping the sila, yeah? Today I keep them, tomorrow I don't keep them. Yeah? And the first fetter is, you know, doubt that there's heaven and hell, or beings in heaven and hell, that there's karma and the results of karma. Okay, that's enough for today, yeah? Do you have any questions?
Sure. Just before I entered the first form for the
what?
Just before I entered the first stage of samadhi, and I start thinking about my mother and the love of my life and how my future will look like, I really start to doubt if I want to enter samadhi. I just can't convince myself that I should continue. I don't think I can convince myself. Like,
of course,
I should just do it. But I don't.
Well, what is it? You know, next life you will have a mother. So how many mothers do you need to be satisfied? How often do you need, you know, to taste this kind of food? How often do you need to go to this country or that country, or to meet this, you know, or have a girlfriend, you know? How often? When do you stop? I mean, it's a trick of the kilesas, yeah? Of course, yeah? They don't want you, yeah? And for me, this is a red alarm lamp that says, you know, I mean, you're actually very close to it, yeah? I mean, you don't lose your mother because of going into samadhi. Huh? Because when you come out of samadhi, everything is the same, yeah? I mean, you remember, you know, what the Lord Buddha said when he trained, you know, the jhanas, yeah? He went in the first jhana, he came out, everything is the same. Nothing has changed. The desire is the same, the hate is the same, you know, everything is the same. And that he did this up to the eighth jhana and said, that is not the way out, yeah? So he went into, you know, and then he did something, you know, he tortured his body, and then he saw, this is also not the way out, yeah? The Majjhima Paripada, the middle way of practice, that is the way out. I mean, you're not even practicing, yeah? Samadhi is just like, you know, I mean, it is the healthy way of drugs. A very healthy way, yeah? It's just giving you some happiness that you're looking all your life for. In this thing or that thing or that thing, yeah? You understand that? The kilesas are fooling you, you know? Why don't you go into samadhi? Because, I mean, normally, you know, it is a sign that you're actually, you know, if you go on, you know, you can enter upachara samadhi, yeah? So, what's the problem? Just experience it, you know, you don't know, yeah? Fear, yeah? It is fear of the kilesa that they have no power over you.
Yeah? Yep,
and they push everything onto you, yeah? Your future, you know, your mother, your parents, your home, you know, your situation, and so on. They put everything onto you so that you don't go there, yeah? Because they know, the moment you enter samadhi, they are outside. And there you see the difference, yeah? How it is, you know, without the kilesa, yeah? And how is it when you come out, how is it with the kilesa? Because the moment you go out, I need something to drink, I need to go here, I need to go there, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that, yeah? I mean, why are you in samadhi? You're happy, you're contented, you don't need anything, and that is the first realization in upachara samadhi, that you actually don't need a thing. And when you're not in samadhi, you need all these things, constantly, yeah? Okay? Understood?
Understood, thank you.
Any more questions?
No, Paul.
Yeah.
Can you differentiate between Kanika Samadhi and Upachara Samadhi Monitor?
Kanika Samadhi is only a very momentary samadhi, yeah? And it normally goes into deep state of samadhi for a second, you know, and then normally comes out in Upachara Samadhi.
Come out at Upachara Samadhi.
Yeah. But Kanika Samadhi for most of people, you know, I mean, it is difficult. Yeah. So I mean, don't bother. If you happen to go into, you know, let me know. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone in meditation and suddenly the pain between, I just explain. When look at the pain
yeah.
is still there.
Yeah.
But it kind of not affecting you.
Yeah, that is samadhi where you separate yourself out
yes.
from the pain. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like one still have thinking. Can
yes.
you think?
It yeah, they're still in the beginning of samadhi. You know, when it is not really, you know, when it's not really fixed, there can be some thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not excessive thoughts. Just a thought, you know, maybe a realization, you know, maybe a memory, you know, coming
yeah, it's
in.
It's really like a controlled thought. Like, we suddenly realize that, and we just kind of...
That is an insight, yeah.
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 So it's, what kind of samadhi is it?
It might not be yet upachara samadhi, it might be just the beginning of upachara samadhi. Yeah. I mean, if you distance yourself, you know, I mean, this can happen also outside of samadhi, yeah?
Yeah.
You realize, okay, there's pain, yeah? I mean, we can use this, you know, we can use the anatta principle. Huh? There's a breath, there's pain, there's anger, and then we can look at it, yeah? Huh? Then we can investigate it, yeah?
It was very amazing because
yeah.
it was like, you know, you separate yourself, the pain is not going to affect you anymore, but you're still knowing
yeah.
the pain is there.
Yeah. I mean, normally in upachara samadhi it is like that, yeah? But then you're not really interested in the pain completely goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Upachara samadhi starts, you know, yeah, starts, you know, and gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until it reaches the stage of apana samadhi. Yeah. So, I mean, there can be very, very different experiences for upachara samadhi. And that depends also on the characteristics of people. Yeah. What they have trained in their previous life. Yeah. Because that can come up, yeah. It's like I said in the beginning, in the next life, you know, I mean, we practice in this life, but next life we have to start all over again, yeah, because we forget certain things, yeah. It's just like you learn a language, you know, and you didn't speak it for 30 years, you know, I mean, you have to relearn it, but because of your experience, you know, you're much quicker to learn it, to relearn it, yeah. And that's the same thing, yeah. For people who have practiced, you know, for instance, the jhanas, instead of going into samadhi, they go into the jhanas, yeah?
Mm. But what happens when it suddenly just happens and you don't really know how to get there and when...
You know how to get there. You put your attention on the breath,
yeah.
Or you put your attention, you know, on the Buddha. Mm. Yeah? And like I said, you know, whenever the mind goes out, you bring it back to the Buddha or you bring it back to the breath. That's how you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah? And the result of your practice is that you enter samadhi. Mm. Same thing can happen if you investigate pain, yeah? I mean, once the pain becomes so strong, you know, that you feel, you know, I mean, you can't bear it anymore, yeah? And you do samadhi, you know, then you go and investigate pain. What is pain? Where is the pain, yeah? I mean, you were born, you know, yeah? I mean, even the tendons are not in pain, you know, because otherwise you would be in pain all the time, yeah? The muscles are not in pain, yeah? Where is the pain?
Yeah.
And what is, how does it feel like? Huh? Lots of people just want to get rid of the pain, and that is not how investigation works. Investigation only works if we can accept the thing that happens. Huh? If we can accept it wholeheartedly, so I mean any kind of feeling we can accept it, and then we can investigate the feeling. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
So, nothing more than we stop, yeah? We end the talk, yeah?